All right, I will say good morning, a good mayid. We have the great zuchos today, Baruch Hashem, to continue in another daf of Maseches Sota, to begin by thanking all of our sponsors for today, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushos this month in memory of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zachariah and Sarah Bas Avram, to thank Avram and Shandy Kelman for dedicating all the Sherman Drushos this month in memory of Avram's mother, Sarah Brina Bas Yoshua Heschel, and to thank our Day of Learning sponsors, the Ringo, Ram, and Fine families, for dedicating the Day of Learning on the yard site of their mother and grandmother, Esther Fega Bas Michla. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah and the families in Nechama. And I will say, of course, it goes without saying that the news out of Eretz Yisrael, the traumatic and tragic loss within the D family right now, as we learn now. So the Levaya of Lucy D, the mother of Maya and Rina, all three of them murdered in a terror attack on this past Friday in Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael. An overwhelming tragedy for Klal Yisrael. An entire family shattered. And it's so hard for us to wrap our heads around these type of tragedies. It's hard to wrap our head around the tragedy in general. But when a tragedy occurs in the midst of a yontif, and a tragedy occurs in a time that is supposed to be marked by such overwhelming and incredible simcha, it's compounded. And especially, again, we're learning these gemaras of beautiful nisim and niflos. And in the midst of a yontif, which is all nisim, to see such terrible churban visited upon a family, a community, and Klal Yisrael it's devastating on every single level. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, these three precious neshamas will have an aliyah. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give the rest of the family the superhuman strength that they need to be able to go on in halavai. Kadosh Baruch Hu should see that Klal Yisrael has had enough of this type of heartbreak. That Klal Yisrael has had enough of this type of unspeakable loss. And we should be zocha that Amir Tashem, before this Yom Tov is out, Kadosh Baruch Hu should finally see fit to bring the Geula, to bring Tchiyas HaMeisim, to dry our tears, and to usher in a period of ongoing Geula, Simcha, Bracha, and Nechama for Klal Yisrael. Shavuot say, so today's daf is Yud Gimel 13, and we are picking up Amir Tashem on Yud Beis and Yud Beis 12b. We are picking up, we actually left off, I realized I should have done one more line. To kind of close out the sugya. So we left off four lines off from the bottom. Om Rabbi Chanina said, L'dayin l'tzadikim shemachzir lan avidosan. Not only for tzadikim, not only are they given back that which they have lost, ela shenosnen lahem scharan, but they're even given reward. So remember again, this is really the last line of the previous sugya, that not only was Yocheved given back her baby, to nurse Moshe, but ultimately, again, she's even paid by the house of Paro to do so. So remember again, the pasuk says that Miriam Hanaviya, the sister of Aaron. So I will say, remember again, I just want to point out, what is this pasuk from? This is incredible. The pasuk says, so we'll say, this pasuk is Shira, Shvi Isha Pesach. Shvi'i Shal Pesach, tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. So this is after Moshe Rabbeinu led Klal Yisrael Az Yashir, Miriam Hanaviyah leads the women in Shira. Let's say the timing is just overwhelmingly amazing. So the Gemara says, Achos Aaron lo Achos Moshe. What? She was only the sister of Aaron, not the sister of Moshe. Amrav Amram, Amrav Amarav, Av Amrili, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Melameid, Sheisa Misnava Kishu Achos Aaron. In other words, why does it call her Achos Aaron? Because Miriam prophesied when she was the sister of Aaron. What did she prophesy? Tapa Vidgimo Va'omeres, Asido Imi Shetele Ben Shemoshe Yisrael. She prophesied when she was still the sister of Aaron, she prophesied that my mother will give birth to a son who will save the Jewish people. I will say, remember again, this also goes back, we had this before, one of the second opinion, as to why Miriam was called Pua, Mipnesha Pua Benevua. She cried out in prophecy. What was the prophecy? This is the prophecy. The prophecy that my mother ultimately again will give birth to the boy to the man who ultimately again will save Klal Yisrael. The Chayvah Shnolad Moshe Nisma LeKol Abayis Kula Ar. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire home filled with light. Amad Aviyah Venashka Al Rosha. Amram gave his daughter a kiss on her head. Right, seeing that her prophecy came true. Amar La Biti Niskaima Nevuasech. My daughter, your prophecy has come true. Then our Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu was born, like we saw before. Batira Oso Kitov. The whole home is filled with light. Amram seen that the prophecy of his daughter really did come true. The Chayvan Shetilu L'Yar, however, again, after 3 months, when they had to put baby Moshe into the river, Amad Aviyah V'Tavcha Al Rosho. So literally, again, Amram went ahead and gave her like a little patch on the head. Amar La Biti Hecha Nevuasech. My daughter, where is your prophecy now? V'Hainu D'Chsev. It's interestingly enough, the Gemara says, this is why Miriam had such an interest to see what was going to happen to the baby, because she wanted to see ultimately what would happen with her nevuah. What happened with her nevuah? But you know, it's also interesting to see how when the baby was born and the home was filled with such light, Amram was, you know, like a shkayach. And then when things went wrong, right, Amram gives a little bit of a patch. You know, it's human nature, even by Amram, that we often only see what is in front of us in any given moment. And often what we lack is panoramic view of life. So, right, when the home is filled with light, shkoyach. Now, again, they have to set the baby afloat on the Nile. Again, a little bit of a zetz, right, a little... But part of the challenge of the human condition is that we kind of have like this tunnel vision. All I see is what is unfolding, and I don't see a continuum. I don't see a spectrum. All I see is what's here. And that's one of the greatest things that we have to work on in life, especially in the midst of adversity. When a person is suffering, when a person is undergoing difficult times, so often what ends up happening is, all I see is my challenge. All I see is, I don't see anything else. You know, it's interesting. When a person is suffering, right, often well-meaning people, what do they say? What do they often say? Now, remember your brachas. And if you're the person suffering and someone says that to you, what do you feel like doing? Punching them in the head, right? Literally punch them in the head, right? Where is that? Just so you should realize that if you want to know where that feeling comes from, it comes from Sota, Dafid Kimmel Amadalim. But I will say, yet interestingly enough, it's true. In other words, when we suffer and when we encounter adversity, the most important tool is perspective and to be able to see everything and not just the challenge. But yet human nature is, when we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty, that's all I see. Incredible Gemara. Let's go back to Yosef Zacha. So I will say, so remember again, the Mishnah, then now we're transitioning now to Yosef. So remember again, Yosef was privileged. Yosef took care of the remains of his father. And remember, Yosef is privileged that Moshe Rabbeinu took care of his remains. So Mashna Meikar Dechsi Vaya Yosef Likbaras Aviv Vayalu O Ito Kolav De Paro Vahadar V'chol Beis Yosef Ve'echav U'Beis Aviv. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So remember again, when Yosef is first going to bury Yaakov Avinu, right? So they're leaving Egypt. So the way the pasuk is structured is, it says Yosef, his brothers, right, and all right, and right is his father's home. I'm sorry. It says in the beginning Yosef, and Yosef went up to bury his father with all of the servants of Paro, and then it mentions Yosef's family, right? So the order of the procession is Yosef, Mitzrayim, the family of Yosef. Yet when they're on the way home after the burial, it says Vahadar V'chol Beis Yosef V'echov U'Beis Aviv. I'm sorry. V'Umayshel L'Basov T'chsev V'Yashav Yosef Mitzrayim Mahu V'echov Vahadar V'chol Olim Ito Likbaras Aviv. Yet on the way back the order is switched. On the way back it says Yosef, his family, and the entourage from Egypt. So why on the way up, right? Why on the way to bury, the entourage from Egypt is mentioned right after Yosef, and then the brothers afterwards. On the way back, it's Yosef, his family, and then the entourage from Egypt. Why is the order switched? Shabbos said, this is incredible. Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila, ad shelo ra'o b'chvodon shel Yisrael,
Lo nagu bahen kavod. So we'll listen to this. On the way up from Egypt to Eretz to Ber Yaakov, the truth is the Egyptians didn't really give that much kavod ultimately again to the family of Yosef, to the family of Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because they did not hold them in such high regard. Ulubasof sharo bichvodan nagu bahen kavod. But ultimately, again, on the way back to Egypt, they had seen the great honor given to the family of Yosef, and as such, the Egyptians gave them honor as well. What happened? The chesed is incredible. The chesed, because the pasuk says, "Vayavo ad Goren ha'atad." So they came to a place called Goren ha'atad. Now, here's what's interesting. Goren is a threshing floor. Atad are thorns. So they want to say, "V'chi yo Goren yeshlo la'atad." Is there a threshing floor for thorns? What does this even mean? On Rabbi Abo, Malamed Shekifu Kisarim La'avronu Shal Yosef Kigoren Ze Shemakivin Lo Av Atad. So it says we're going to see something dramatic happen. That on the way up to the Levaya of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov's casket was surrounded by the crowns of all of the neighboring monarchs. Just in the same way that people would often plant thorn bushes around granaries. Why did you plant thorn bushes around granaries? It was a biblical alarm system, biblical security system. It kept people out, it kept animals out. So apparently, again, there was this massive display of kavod for the casket of Yaakov Avinu that it was surrounded by crowns. What happened? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, Shabo b'nei Esav b'nei Yishmael b'nei Keturah. So we'll say, what happens? B'nei Esav b'nei Yishmael b'nei Keturah. Tana kulam l'chamabo. They all came to wage war on the family of Yaakov. They figured, here's an opportunity just to finally wipe out the family of Yaakov. Kevan shirah kisro sheyoseh toleh barun shal Yaakov. But when they saw the crown of Yosef literally on the casket of Yaakov, and remember again, Yosef was the most powerful man in the region, Nutlu Kulan Kisrayen Utalaum Ba'arono Shal Yaakov. All of these kings took off their crowns and put it on the casket of Yaakov. You know, can you imagine this display? So Yosef had put his crown, all of these other nations, Yishmael, Esav, Keturah, all came to wage war on the family. But once they saw the crown of Yosef on the casket of Yaakov, they all removed their crowns and placed it on the casket as well. Tana, Shloshim Mishisha Ksram Nitlu Baron Shal Yaakov. There were 36 crowns, ultimately again on the casket of Yaakov. So we'll say that's why it's called, they eulogized him in Goren Ha'atad. In the same way that the granary is often surrounded by thorn bushes, the casket of Yaakov Avinu was surrounded by crowns. When the Egyptians saw this incredible covet given to Yaakov Avinu, to the patriarch of the family, they became much more deferential to the Jewish people. Incredible. So they eulogized Yaakov Avinu. They had an incredible mispeid, right? Mispeid gadol and kaved ma'od, literally, again, a very large eulogy and a heavy mourning. Also, I just want to point out just also how timely it is that we're reading this pasuk. You know, Michael Langbaum, who is a member of the Shir, lives in Efrat now, sent me video from the Levaya procession for Lucy D, that the streets were lined. Again, it's an incredible thing. Here we're learning about the Levaya, of Yaakov Avinu. Vayispedu sham mispeid gadol v'kaved ma'od. So literally again, on the same day, Klal Yisrael is also experiencing its own mispeid gadol v'kaved ma'od. Incredible. Tana, hafilu susam hafilu chamorim. We'll say, literally, even the horses and even the donkeys. And we'll say, what does this mean? That even the horses and even the donkeys mourned? What's the pshat with that? We'll say, there are some things in this world that are so intense, and there is Kedusha that is so palpable that it is felt in every corner of the world. The loss of Yaakov Avinu, the loss of a tzaddik in this world, is something that is so tangible and so palpable that even the animals mourn. So when Yaakov Avinu was eulogized, when Yaakov Avinu was mourned, even the susim, even the chamorim. So let's listen to this story. So once the Yaakov Avinu's funeral procession gets to Maras HaMachpelah, Asa Esav Kama'akev, Esav wanted to block his brother Yaakov from being buried at Maras HaMachpelah. How so? What did he do? Amar Lahem, Mamre Kiryas Arba Hi Chevron. Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiryas Arba. Arba Zugos Hayu. This burial place is a place for four couples. Who are the four couples? Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. Ihu Kavra Lelea Bididei. So ultimately, again, Esav says, listen, there are two more spots left in this. One for Yaakov and one for me. One for Yaakov, one for me. Yaakov already buried Leah in his portion. Therefore, Esav said, "Behind the payish didihava, the leftover burial spot from Ras Machpelah is mine." Esav said, "It belongs to me. It belongs to me." Amrule, they said to Esav, "Zavinde, Esav, you sold your birthright. You sold your birthright, and with that, your right to Ras Machpelah." Amrulehu nihi dizavini bechirusa pishitusa mizavini. I sold my birthright. It's true, I sold my double portion, but I'm still entitled to some basic inheritance. And my basic inheritance gives me a burial place of Maaseh Machpelah. There was one for me, one for Yaakov, the two sons of Yitzchak. Yaakov gave his away to Leah. I'm not going to let you bury Yaakov here, because if you do so, you'll be taking my burial place. So the Gemara says, Amrulei, in Tichsib B'kivri Ashakar Isili, from Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shem Ayo Zadik, in Kira El Hashem Mechira, Shekei Mekrach Hayam Korol Mechira Kira. So ultimately they said to Esav, no, when you sold your birthright, you sold everything, not just the double portion. You sold any level entitlement that you had from your father Yitzchak. To the point, ultimately, again, even your burial place is no longer yours. Amar Lehu, Havli Garta. So he said, okay, you're claiming that I sold my birthright. Show me the bill of sale. Show me the bill of sale. Plus, I remember again, they couldn't open up a chumash, right? They couldn't open up a chumash, right? Remember again, that was a little bit premature. So show me the document that says that I sold it away. Amrulei, Igarta Bar Dishayim. Now, I was saying there was a document. Yaakov Avinu knew about who his brother was. And when Esav sold him the birthright, they drafted a document. So they said to Esav, we have a document, but the document is in Egypt. Uman Nezel. Who's going to go to get the document? So Nezel Naftali the Kalo Kiyalto. Let's send Naftali, because Naftali is swift as a deer. Dichsiv Naftali Ayula Shalucha. Hanosin Imre Shefer. I'm Rabbi Avel, I'll take it Imre Shefer. Ella Imre Sefer. Don't read it as Imre Shefer, rather Imre Sefer. Naftali is the one who could run quickly in order to go ahead and take care of the matters of the document. Okay, so we'll say, so this, and again, I just want to point out this. This is all unfolding at the entranceway of Maaseh Machpelah. There's an entire procession here. An entire procession. And Esav is holding up the entire procession. So we'll listen to this. Hushim Brei Dan, Taman Hava. So who was there? Hushim the son of Dan. Now Hushim, the current Udne. Hushim was, current Udne means his ears were heavy. He was deaf or very hard of hearing. Amar Lehu, so he says, "Hi, my hi." So Hushim didn't understand what was happening over here. He said, "My hi, what is going on over here?" But Amar Lehu, "Kama akev hi ad asin aftali ma'arid mitzrayim." So he told him, "Listen, Esav, right? Uncle Esav is going ahead, or great uncle Esav is going ahead and blocking the burial procession until Naftali gets back with the document from Egypt." Amar Lehu, "Vad asin aftali ma'arid mitzrayim yehavi abba mutal babizayon." So Hushim Campbell is Hushim says, So what? Until Naftali gets back from Egypt, so grandfather should lay here in a state of degradation. In other words, he needs to be buried. Shakal Kufa Machia Areshe. Ultimately, again, Hushim Ben Don took out his club, whacked Esav on the head, and killed Esav. Killed Esav right there. Nasran Ene Naflu Akara Yaakov. Ultimately, Esav's eyes popped out of his head. And ultimately, again, rolled literally to the lap of Yaakov Avinu. Paschinu Yaakov le'enei va'achiv. Yaakov opened his eyes and he left. V'hainu d'chsev yismach tzadik kichaza nakam pa'amav. The tzadik will laugh. The tzadik will rejoice ultimately again when he sees vengeance at his feet. Yirchas b'dam arasha. Ba'os ha'shan is kamin nevuas ha'shal Rivka. In that moment, the prophecy of Rivka came to fruition. D'chsev. Lama eshkol gam shnechem yom echad. Why should I lose both of my sons on one day? The afag of the misasan lo biyom echad. Even though Yaakov and Esav didn't die on the same day, nevertheless kivurasan miha biyom echad. Yaakov and Esav were buried on the same day. And Abba said, this is our Masora, ultimately, again, for the fact we have the Masora that Esav's head, right, or part of Esav's body, is buried in Maras HaMachpelah. Rabbi said, but this is, and if you think about it, it's a tremendous, tremendous Musar Haskel. I'll say, what's tremendous Musar Haskel? Sometimes we spend so much time negotiating, right? When in fact, sometimes what life demands is decisive action to do the right thing, right? So they're all negotiating with Esav about let's get the paperwork, let's this, that. Sometimes you just have to drown out everything that's happening around you and just do the right thing. Now, again, I'm not advocating for hitting people over the head, right, and things like that. But Lamaisa, there is a musr in that. That sometimes, again, you know, when you hear, you're like, oh, I have to validate this argument, to validate that argument, and engage in this discussion, that discussion. There is absolutely a time for negotiations. And sometimes, there's just a time for decisive action. Everyone else is so caught up in the dialogue with Esav, and Hushim says, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? This is not right. And there is no need for us to legitimize that which is objectively wrong. But it took someone who is quote-unquote deaf and didn't hear all of the other dialogue to say, there's right and there's wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. I'm going to stand up for what's right. An incredible Musar Haskel. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'ilo asek be Yosef, achiv lo havim me'aski be. Yeah, we'll say, and tell me, had Yosef not buried Yaakov, wouldn't the other brothers have taken care of his burial? Tushvahaksiv, v'yisa osa banavar tzakinan, anru hanichalo kvaldu b'malachim yosar me'ad Yaakov. The brothers are about to say that, of course, the brothers would have taken care of. In other words, the Mishnah makes it sound like it was only Yosef who took care of the burial of his father. I said the Gemara, had Yosef not done it, you think the brothers wouldn't have done it? Of course they would have. But the brothers decided it was a greater covet for Yaakov, for him to have his burial taken care of by a king. By a king, than by mere commoners. Incredible. Milan Godom Yosef. So remember again, Yosef was great in that he took care of the burial of his father. And in reward for that, ultimately, who takes care of the burial of Yosef? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Tana Bonon. Bo re'e kama chavivos mitzvos on Moshe Rabbeinu. Boss, listen to this. See how special and how precious mitzvos are Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to this. Shekol Yisrael kulun nis'asku bebizo v'nis'asik b'mitzvos. The Boss said, when we were getting ready to leave Egypt, remember, what were the Jews doing? What were the Jews doing? They were gathering wealth. Now remember, they were gathering wealth because God commanded them to gather wealth. But as they're gathering the wealth of Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu, what is he doing? He's engaged in mitzvahs. What mitzvah? Shenemar chacham lev yikach mitzvahs. The wise, right? Was a chacham lev. Someone who is wise of heart will realize that don't spend your life accumulating material wealth, but rather spend your life accumulating mitzvahs. Because material wealth, one thing is clear, which is you cannot take it with you, right? As we say, the hearse doesn't have a luggage rack, right? So lemaisa, you can't take your material wealth with you, but your mitzvahs, those are yours for all eternity. Those you take with you. Shavuot says, Klal Yisrael is going ahead and, as Klal Yisrael is going ahead and gathering the wealth of Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu again is engaged in mitzvahs. Shavuot says, to be clear, we're not disparaging Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is also following mitzvah, right? The point is the contrast over here. The contrast at the end of the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was occupied again with something kulo ruchni, whereas Klal Yisrael was involved in something gashmi, a mitzvah, but gashmi is nevertheless. Where did Moshe, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know where Yosef was buried? Listen, this was an incredible story. Amru, Sarach bas Asher nishtaira me'ose adar. Rabbi said there was one woman, Sarach, the daughter of Asher. Rabbi said she was incredibly old, obviously, again, at the time of emancipation. But she was the last living person who had known Yosef. Remember, Sarach bas Asher was Yosef's niece. Yosef's niece. So she knew her uncle, and she knew where he was buried. So listen to this. Halach Moshe etzla. Moshe and he went to Sarach. Amr la klum at yodas hechon Yosef kover. He asks, yes, sir, do you know where Yosef is buried? Amr lo, aron shamatachas asula mitzrayim. I'll tell you what happened. When Yosef died, they made him a metal casket. They kavua benilos. Benilos, hanar. And they buried him on the bottom of the Nile River. Kadeshi is baruchu meimav. In order that the waters of the Nile should be blessed because of Yosef. So Yosef is incredible. So by the way, it's from this story what becomes clear is the Egyptians clearly hijacked the burial of Yosef, which is pretty incredible, right? Because Yosef died before his brothers. Yosef, we're going to talk about this on a moment. Yosef died earlier than any of the Shvatim. But it appears that the Egyptians really took control of his burial. They placed him in a metal casket and buried him on the bottom of the Nile because they wanted, Yosef was such a source of bracha for Egypt, they wanted his blessing presence to be continued in Egypt. So they put him on the bottom of the Nile. You're supposed to listen to this. Halach Moshe v'amanah sasanilos. Moshe Benu goes and he stands by the banks of the Nile. Amr lo, he says, Yosef, Yosef, higia ha'ez shenishpa kadosh baruch hu shenigol eschem. Yosef, Yosef, it's the time when we are leaving Egypt, right? V'higia ha'shvo sheshbat es Yisrael. And Yosef, you adjured, right? You gave a shvo to Klal Yisrael. V'halisem es asmosai mizeh itchem. You made us take a shvo to bury you in Eretz Yisrael. Im atamara atzmecha mutav. Yosef, make yourself seen. If you make yourself seen, we will take you with us. V'im lav, but if not, hare anu menukin m'shvo asech. We are hereby released from the oath to take you to Eretz Yisrael. And we'll say, what happened? Miyad, tzaf, arono, shal Yosef. The casket of Yosef floated on the Nile River. We'll say, is this not incredible? Can you imagine missing Moshe Rabbeinu standing on the banks of the Nile? Yosef, Yosef, we're leaving. We want to take you with us. We want to take you with us. But we don't know where you are. If you make yourself seen, if you make yourself known, we will take you. But if not, we have to go. We have to go. And I will say, just like that, a casket of lead, a casket of iron, floats on the Nile River. So the Gemara says, V'alte tamahech barzel tzaf. And don't be amazed that iron floats, right? Don't be amazed that iron floats. Sharik Siv, he quotes over the pasuk from the Novi, Bahia echad mapila akora. That's a barzel. Nafa alamayim. So I'll say, so ultimately, again, the Navi Gemara tells a story that occurred over here in Melachim Beis, right, by the Navi Elisha. So what happened over here? There was one of the people who was felling wood, right, he was chopping wood, and what happens is the axe head fell into the water. So what happens? So he comes and he says, Elisha, Ahe Adoni behu shol. So the guy comes to Elisha, he's all panicked because the axe was a borrowed axe. Right, so what am I supposed to do? I borrowed the axe, and now the axe head is in the bottom of the river. So Vayomer Yisrael came on enough. Oh, where did it fall? Vayir Eves Hamakom, surely should the place. Vayiktsav Eitz Veishlach Shama Vayatsav Habarzal. So what did Elisha do? He took up a piece of wood, threw it in the spot where the axe head had sunk, threw it in, and the axe head floated on the top of the water. Follow Dvaran Kavachomer. It's Kavachomer. Umma Elisha Tamidosha Elio. This was Elisha, who was a student of Elio, and Elio was a student of Moshe. Because let's remember again, we have a Masorah that's what? Elio, who's Elio? Elio is Pinchas. So I will say, and yet, Saf Barzal Miparav, and yet he was able to make iron float. Mipnei Moshe Rabbeinu Alachas Kama Vakama. So certainly, if the Talmidim of Moshe can make iron float, then what? Certainly, Moshe Rabbeinu himself can make iron float as well. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Bekarbonit Shal Melachim Hayakomer. No, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't buried. Sorry, Yosef wasn't buried in the Nile. Rather, where was he buried? He was buried in one of the royal catacombs. So what was the problem? The problem is still, Moshe did not know where Yosef was. Amar al Karbonit Shal Melachim Amar. Yosef, Higia Eitz Shenishba Kodesh Baruch Hu Shenigol Eschem. V'Higia Shvu Sheshbat Es Yisrael. So same story, just different location. Moshe goes to the entrance of the catacomb and says, Yosef, it's time for us to go. We are willing to fulfill the oath that we made to you to bring your remains to Eretz Yisrael. But you have to make yourself known. If you make yourself known, good. We are released from the Shavuah. So in that moment, the casket of Yosef began to shake. And that's how Moshe was able to identify him. Not La Moshe, the Aviyatz La Moshe took the remains of Yosef and ultimately took it with them when they left Egypt. It was incredible. Listen to this, Rosai. V'chal osan shanim hayu Yisrael b'midbar. All the years that Klal Yisrael was in the desert, hayu shnei aronos halalu. There were two arons. Echad shal meis ve'echad shal shchina. They will say one was the Aron, which was the casket of Yosef, and the other was the Aron, right? The ark of the Shekhinah. And what happened? Ma'alchin Zaimzeh. These two arks, so to speak, these two Aronos, traveled side by side. And people, when they would see it, they would say, what's the nature of these two arks? Amru, they said, one belongs to the dead, to Yosef, and one belongs to the Shekhinah. And is it appropriate for the casket of the mace, the urn of the mace, to walk with the urn of the Shekhinah? Amru. So we'll go say, what do people say? Amru days, Amru, Kiyem Zeh, Mashakasuv Bazeh. Ultimately, again, this one, Yosef, upheld, right, lived by that which is written in the other one. I will say, how incredible. I will say, by the way, now you also understand, it's always interesting how we call a casket an aron, right? It's interesting, which is the same, again, the same Hebrew word, ultimately, again, for the aron abris, for the ark. So I'll say, what's the goal? The goal in life is when you leave this world after 120, the greatest hesped, the greatest eulogy that can be delivered about a Jew is what? Kiyem zeh mashakasuv bazeh. He who lies in this aron lived a life of that which is contained in this aron. I will say that is the goal in life. That's the hesped that each, that's the eulogy that we want said about us after 120. All the other stuff is very nice, right? Was a good father, was a good husband, you know, love the Orioles, you know, whatever, all the other stuff that people choose to pepper in there. Strangest things that people say at Levi's, right? Strangest stuff, right? Grandma made the best crab cakes, you know, whatever else, right? Whatever other kinds of stuff that people like to say. Lemaiset, at the end of the day, kiyem zeh, mashakasa bazeh. I will say, that's what we want said by our family. And even if there's a hesped, if the hesped contains that one line, that is a life well lived. The ila asak by Moshe, Yisrael Ahava Maski. I will say, tell me, Moshe Rabbeinu, not taking care of the remains of Yosef, you think Klal Yisrael wouldn't have been engaged? I remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu dies before he enters into Eretz Yisrael. Yosef is buried in Shechem. So Klal Yisrael took the remains the rest of the way and buried Yosef. So clearly, again, even had Moshe not done it, Klal Yisrael would have done it. V'su, we'll say first white line. V'su, Elo askeve Yisrael, banav lahavim askeve. Furthermore, again, and if Klal Yisrael wouldn't have done it, Yosef has children. Yosef's children would have done a v'aksiv ve'yu libnei Yosef lenachala amru hanicha lo kvoda b'merubim Yosef b'mu'atin. V'su amru hanichu lo kvoda b'gdolim Yosef miktanim. So I will say, so ultimately, again, Klal Yisrael, in other words, they made the same way that the Shvatim decided to allow Yosef to take care of the burial of Yaakov, because that was a greater covet to Yaakov. So ultimately, again, Klal Yisrael, or the children, gave over the covet to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael gave over the covet to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because ultimately, again, the greatest covet to Yosef would be that Moshe Rabbeinu himself took care of the burial. Karo b'shem, so we'll say Yosef is buried in Shechem. So we'll say, Maishna b'shem, why is Yosef buried in Shechem? So Rabbi Chama will say, it's incredible. This is a heartbreaking Gemara. The Gemara, so Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Mishchem ganvuhu, uleshchem nachzir avidasa. They will say, it's such, Yosef was stolen away from his family in Shechem. Right, remember again, Shechem is where Yosef goes to check on his family, check on his brothers. And it's in Shechem that Yosef is sold, right? It's in Shechem where Yosef's life was torn apart. Right? He was ripped away from his family. And it's in Shechem where he is returned for his final rest. Such a profound Gemara. Life is a full circle. Life, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, he says, life is a full circle. The only variable is the diameter of the circle. Right? It's always everyone come. He's talking about by tshuva, that everyone does tshuva. Everyone comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say, it's such a profound piece. The place where Yosef's life was torn apart was the very place where Yosef's life really started. Right? Yosef became Yosef in Shechem. He became Yosef in Shechem. Yosef became who he was in that place of tragedy. That tragedy forged his identity. That tragedy placed his life on a different trajectory. And it's that trajectory that made him him. So it made sense, says the Gemara, that Yosef's life comes full circle in Shechem again. He was stolen away in Shechem, and he's returned for his final rest in Shechem. So I was like, you know what's sometimes overwhelming? You know, if you think about it, and I find this very overwhelming. The story of Klal Yisrael is like never a "and everyone lived happily ever after" story. Rabbi Sachs, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes this. He says, in the world of literature, he said, there's two different kinds of story. There's mythology. So if you ever read Greek mythology, what's Greek mythology? Greek mythology is like the worst, right? Why is it the worst? Because man is like at the mercy of these gods who are not gods. They just happen to be the most vain and base of physical beings with supernatural powers. So the whole chapter of Greek mythology is man can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter, the gods are going to do what they want. So, and then there's fairy tales. What happens with fairy tales? All right, every single fairy tale ends, and everyone lived happily ever after. So Rabbi Sachs says, we obviously don't believe in mythology, because we have a real HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a real God. But we also have no fairy tales. We have no fairy tales. We have no story that ends, and everyone lived happily ever after. We don't. We'll have a story like that. There isn't. It's not a fairy tale. There'll be Mashiach, and the Mashiach is there. I'll say, but if you look at our stories, like, it's incredible. It's incredible. Everything comes full circle, but it comes full circle with so much pain. And it comes full circle with so much. Can you imagine when they bring Yosef back to rest in Shechem, and Klal Yisrael stands in the very spot where brother turned against brother? That's what happened in that spot. Brother turned. Okay, they had cheshbonos. They had reasons for it. This was L'shem Shamayim. But in that spot where brother turned against brother, that's where Yosef comes back to. That's where he was stolen from, and that's where he was returned. That's where he was returned. Well, the story of Klal Yisrael is a story of ongoing heartbreak, a story of ongoing adversity, a story of ongoing challenge. But that's what makes us us. That with all of that, we forge forward. After they bury Yosef, what do they do? What do they do after they bury Yosef? What do they do? We conquer Eretz Yisrael, right? We establish a homeland, Jewish autonomy, Jewish destiny. That's our story. We bury our dead. We bury Yosef in Shechem. We return the stolen item back to where it was stolen from. We roll up our sleeves and we get to work. So, Krasha Kada, there's a contradictory pesukim. The pasuk says, "Va'yikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo uksiv es atzmos Yosef asher helu bnei Yisrael." So, we'll say, so who is? The Torah itself seems to give two different people credit for burying Yosef. It says Moshe buried Yosef, and then it says Klal Yisrael buried Yosef. So which one was it? It was an incredible Gemara. I will say, if you start something in life and you don't finish it, and someone else finishes it, he who finishes the job gets the credit. I will say, there is this interesting dialectic in Yiddishkeit, which is, on one hand, Hashem judges us on effort, but not results. But I will say, but that's only when you don't control the results. At the end of the day, success is determined by who finishes the job. And I will say, is this not an incredible musa for us? Because, you know, our proverbial life closet is filled with started life initiatives, right? I've got all of, it's not just your garage that is always like in a constant state, like half state of being cleaned up. Right? Or those home repairs, which, you know, I got started on. As I will say, my life is filled with these initiatives that I started. I started, and I was excited. And well, see, you know how life works. You know, sometimes those initiatives, they lose their new life initiative smell. Right? And what happens? It becomes a little stale, and I just put it in the closet. I will say, success is determined by finishing the job. Get the job done. Moshe, you did great. But you don't get credit for Yosef's burial. Do you know why? You didn't get him to Shechem. You're the one we just saw before everyone else is gathering wealth. And you're searching for Yosef. That's beautiful. Did you get the job done? And the answer is no. No. So because you didn't get the job done, Klal Yisrael got the job done. Klal Yisrael are the ones who are considered to have buried Yosef, not you. And I will say, if you start something in life, put in all of your effort to bring it across the finish line. Because success is often not measured in effort, but success is often measured in results. Incredible. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Morid, and also Midulasa. I will say not only that, but sometimes when you start something, you don't finish it, you lose your standing. Dechsev, Vayihi Ba'isahi, Vayired Yehuda. Shabbos said, this is incredible. What does Yehuda have to do with this? Shabbos said, this goes back to the Yosef story. Remember again, when Yosef finds his brothers in Shechem, so remember again, when the brothers seem approaching, what do they want to do? What do they want to do? So Shimon and Levi want to kill him. Yehuda's the one who says, my bad son. No. Let's not kill him. What good is it? What good is it if we kill him? Right? And Yosef is the one who, Yehuda's the one who says, let's just put him in the pit. Shabbos said, so Yehuda did part of the job. What could Yehuda have done? What could he have done? He could have saved him. Yehuda was not the oldest, but one of the most respected amongst the brothers. And had Yehuda said, no, this is not what we do. Brother doesn't turn against brother. This is not what we do. He could have saved Yosef. But he didn't. Instead, what does he do? He does part of the job. Part of the job. What was part of the job? He prevented the brothers from killing Yosef, which again, is an accomplishment, but it's part of the job. We'll say, what happens when you only do part of the job? You lose your standing. You lose your standing. I will say, ultimately, again, when you only do half a job, you end up burying, chas v'shalom, your wife and your children. This is a dramatic gemara. I don't understand. Because you don't finish the job in life, you end up burying, chas v'shalom, your wife and children. What kind of gemara is this? I will say, it's a profound yisod. See, I will say, if you're not a finisher, you're not going to be a proper provider. If you're not a finisher, you're not a proper provider. Sometimes when you see these gemaras about burying family members, again, it doesn't have to be understood literally. But what it's saying is, it's a pagam in the individual. I will say, you know what happens? See, I will say, people who aren't finishers, you know what else happens? They're also not promise keepers. I know it's not good English, but you understand. Right? Those are the kind of people who make commitments and they don't honor their commitments. You also say, what happens if you don't honor your commitments? It's going to be hard to maintain a marriage. When you don't honor commitments, your children feel like you're not there for them. Sometimes kover isha ubanav doesn't have to mean chas v'shalom, that a person's wife and children pass away. What it means is you can't sustain, bolster, and nourish the relationship because you're not a finisher. Because also, you're the kind of person who starts stuff and then kind of walks away and loses interest. People can't rely on you. And when people can't rely on you, it's hard to build a marriage when your wife can't rely on you. It's hard for your children to believe in you when they can't rely on you. That's the danger of not being a finisher. It's so easy to be a starter, right? Because being a starter is exciting. But I will say, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants of us is whatever you start, bring it to the finish line. Because if you carve out that identity as the guy who starts but doesn't finish, it's going to be really hard to build and maintain meaningful life relationships. Incredible. The Gemara goes right there. Why is Yosef called bones in his lifetime? In other words, Yosef Atzmarayasi Valisimus Atzmosai refers to himself as bones in his lifetime. Mibnei Shalom Micha Bekavod Aviv. Ultimately, I will say because Yosef allowed. Literally, again, he did not object to the covet of his father, which means he allowed his father to be debased in his presence. When did this happen? So the Gemara says, "Tikamri le Avdecha Avinu v'lo Amar lohu v'lo Midi." I will say this is before Yosef even revealed his identity. The brothers referred to Yaakov as your servant, our father. And Yosef just let that go. Yosef allowed his father to be referred to as a servant in his presence, and he did not object to that. So because of that, Yosef himself was called Atzmos in his life. So we said before, Why did Yosef predecease his brothers? Well, even though, remember again, Yosef is the second youngest. But yet, why did Yosef go ahead and predecease his brothers? Because Rabbi say he allowed himself to lord over his brothers. So again, Rabbi say here's what's interesting. I just want to point out, you know, Yosef had a whole cheshbon for why he did not reveal his identity to his brothers. But that whole cheshbon, initially, but that whole cheshbon, that whole calculation, came with a cost. See, Rabbi say at the end of the day, Yosef lorded over his brothers. He wielded unnecessary power over his brothers and made his brothers miserable unnecessarily, at least for a certain duration. He allowed his father to be called an Eved in his presence. Yosef might have had a cheshbon. So you must say, a lot of times in life, I have a reason for what I do. But just because you have a good reason doesn't mean that actions don't come with collateral damage. This is an important piece of life. You could have Yosef had a good reason for everything he did. Maybe even a correct, not even, he had a correct reason for everything he did. Right? But Lamaisa, even good, correct, and sound reasoning sometimes comes with collateral damage. Incredible. So the Gemara goes right here. The Gemara says, but Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, Yosef was taken down to Egypt. Amr Abelazar al Tikri Hurad Ela Horid. Shehorid itzdagine paro migdulasan. Now we'll say, so what does it mean? When Yosef was brought down to Egypt, he brought down others. Who did he bring down? He brought down the astrologers of Paro. Now we'll say, how did he bring down the astrologers of Paro? Because remember again, right, when Paro has the dream, the astrologers can't properly interpret it. Yosef does. So Yosef kibiyachol brought down the astrologers. Vayikaneu Potiphar Sris Paro. So Potiphar, the Sris. Now we'll say, Sris, see, we translate Sris ultimately as an officer. Sris could also mean a eunuch. Amarav, Shikran Latzal. We'll say, why did Potiphar buy Yosef? Potiphar bought Yosef because Yosef was a very handsome young man. And ultimately, again, Potiphar wanted to use Yosef to satisfy his own sexual appetites. Bogavril Basir. So, Bogavril Apiro. So, let's listen to this. So, what happened? The Malachim came and took care, quote unquote, of Potiphar. Right? They took care of Potiphar so that he wasn't able to do anything to Yosef. How do we know this? Mekarksif Potiphar, Ulabasov Potiphera. So I will say, at first the Torah calls him Potiphar, and then it calls him Potiphera. Potiphera is a feminine form of Potiphar. To say, the Malachim took care of Potiphar, that he wasn't going to be doing anything to Yosef or for anyone else. And so the Gemara goes weiter. Milon Agadol Moshe. So I'll say, incredible Gemara. So remember again, so Moshe Rabbeinu buried Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu buried Yosef. And in that Sechus, God buries Moshe Rabbeinu. This is incredible. Vayomer Hashem Eli Rav Loch. Shabbos says, so remember again, this is in Parshas Veschanon, where ultimately again, Moshe Rabbeinu, bless you, Moshe Rabbeinu was lobbying HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem says to Moshe, Rav Loch, you have enough. You have enough? Don't ask me for any more. So let's listen to this. Berav Biser, Berav Bisruhu. Ultimately again, so Moshe used Rav, when countering the rebellion of Korach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used Rav for Moshe. What is Rav Biser? Rav Lochem. Remember again, when Korach wanted to be leader, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Korach? Rav Lochem, you have enough. Rav Bisru, Rav Loch. So it's actually fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Korach, you have enough. Hashem said to Moshe, you have enough. In other words, Rabbeinu said, so it sounds like over here, what the Gemara is also saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu is held accountable for how he interacted with Korach. Right, they were Yidden who were seeking out additional greatness. Never tell a Jew you have enough. Right, when a Jew wants more, find a way to cultivate that. So what sounds like Hashem saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is, listen, Korach and his followers. What are they saying? They want more kedusha. They want more ruchnius. They want more responsibility. Don't say to them you have enough. But rather figure out a way to help them quench that thirst in an appropriate way. Find a way. So Moshe Rabbeinu was punished midah keneged midah. You told Korach and his followers, you guys have enough? Hashem says to Moshe, you have enough as well. Incredible. Davar acher, Rav Loch. Ultimately, again, Hashem was saying to Moshe, Rav Loch, Rav Yeshlecha. Moshe, don't despair. I've given you a Rebbe Who's your Rebbe? Umano Yoshua. Or as Moshe was, God was telling Moshe, don't worry, even when you die, there will be another leader for Klal Yisrael. Who's going to be the leader? Rav Loch, I've given you another Rebbe, Yoshua. Davra Acher. Rav Loch, Shalom Yom, Rav Kamakasha, Vitamit Kama Sarvon. Ultimately, Moshe, stop. People shouldn't say that the master, i.e. God, is so strict, and the student, you, Moshe, are so understanding. In other words, Hashem was asking Moshe Rabbeinu to please stop supplicating so as not to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu look like he was cruel and indifferent to the pleas of Moshe. V'chol kach lama, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, l'fum gam lo shichna. Ultimately, again, why all of this? Why all of this? Ultimately, again, according to the camel, is the load. Rashi says over here, l'fi koach ha-gamal, marbid m'maso, afkan l'fi tzidkaso, medaktek acharov. Rabbi says, so ultimately, again, why didn't Hashem allow Moshe Rabbeinu into the land? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the tzaddikim in a very strict fashion. Rabbi says, that's why, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable for hitting the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu was even held accountable. Can you imagine this? That Moshe Rabbeinu was held accountable for how he spoke to Korach? Right? It's Korach, for God's sake. Right? In other words, it's Korach. Korach was terrible. Korach did terrible stuff. Korach led a rebellion, actually, against Moshe, but against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But yet, again, tzaddikim are held to a higher level. Incredible. We'll say, let's go right there. Says the Gemara, Vayomer Aleyem, Bemeim Esim Shana Anoche Yom. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, I'm 120 years old today. Shein tamalomer hayom. And they both say, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say hayom today? Why can't just say, I'm 120. Why today? To which the Gemara says, hayom malu yoma yushnosai. Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Klal Yisrael, literally, today is my birthday. It's to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the tzaddikim ultimately again to round out their life. That literally again, Hashem allows the lifetime of tzaddikim to become a full circle, a full unit. Tchsev as mispar yamecha amalei. So we'll say when he says hayom, what he was literally saying was today is my birthday. Right? Today is my 120th birthday. Lu'ucha olo teis falabo. So Moshe says to Klai, so I can't, literally again, I can't go out and come in. My lo teis falabo. What does that mean? Ile ma lo teis falabo mamish. If Moshe was saying, listen, I'm so old and therefore a bit immobile, I can't move around. That can't be vaksiv. O Moshe, the meve esim shalom oso. Lo nas lecho. Uksiv. Right? It says Moshe is 120 years old. And literally again, his moisture, right? In other words, he was vital until the end. And it says, Uksiv, Vayal Moshe me Arvo Smoav al Har Nevo. Moshe went from Arvo Smoav to Har Nevo. Vitanyo, Shteim Esrei Ma'alos, Hayusham. There are 12 steps. Upasan Moshe b'psi'achas. Moshe took all 12 steps in one stride. So clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu is physically, has his full physical vitality, even at 120. So what does it mean? Lo ucha olo teis v'lova. I'm Shomar Nachmani, I'm Yonasan. Lo teis v'lova b'divrei Torah. What it means is I can no longer come and go in matters of Torah. Meaning what? Melamed shenistatmu mimenu sha'arei chachma. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the gates of wisdom are closed to me. The gates of wisdom are closed to me. So I'll say that's what it means. Lo ucha olo. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood when the gates of wisdom were closed to me. He understood what did he understand? This is the end, right? Because for Moshe Rabbeinu, if the gates of wisdom are closed, that means that this is my last day on this earth. Moshe and Yoshua went to the Olamoy, went to the Mishkan. Tana, Osa Shabbos Shel Dio Zugi Haisa. Nitlar Mishus Mizah, B'nitna Lazah. Rabbi said this was the only time that Klal Yisrael had a dual leadership model. On Moshe Rabbeinu's last day of his life, Moshe and Yoshua were both the leaders. But Moshe took the mantle and he passed it on to Yoshua. Had the Pasuk not said it, we would have never been able to say it. Heichan Moshe Leis. What's he saying? Where did Moshe die? Bechelko Shal Ruvain. Moshe died. But remember again, Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the Transjordanian lands. In the lands that would ultimately become, right? So he died in the portion that would become the portion of Ruvain. Which I just want to give you like an incredible postscript to the story. Everyone says that Moshe Rabbeinu never entered into Eretz Yisrael. Tell you a little secret. He did. Because remember again, he died in the Transjordanian lands in the area for the 2.5 tribes that ultimately would become part of Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't cross the Jordan. He doesn't, which is what he wanted. He doesn't cross the Jordan. But he absolutely had the opportunity to step foot on what would later on be Eretz Yisrael. So where does he die? He dies in the portion of Reuven. Dechsev, Vayal Moshe Ma'arvos Mava Har Nevo. Unevo, Bechelko Shel Reuven. Right, Chaimo. Dechsev, Ubenei Reuven, Beno, Ves Nevo. Fine. Shavuot say, Behechan Moshe Kavar. So he dies in the tribal portion of Reuven. Now where is he buried? Where is he buried? Bechelko Shel Gad. Still in the Transjordanian lands. Dechsev, Vayar Reishis Lo. So what's fine. So what's this? Listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu dies. He dies in the tribal area in Reuven, and ultimately he's buried in the tribal area of Gad. So what's the shaila? O mechelko shel Reuven and mechelko shel Gad, kamahavi. What's the difference? What's the distance between the place where Moshe died and the place where he's buried? Arba milin, 4 mil. Olsen arba milin mohulichu, miolichun. So who transported Moshe Rabbeinu's body from the place where he died to the place where he was buried? Listen to this, Rabbi Osei. Malah is so beautiful. Malah made Shaya Moshe Mutal Bekanfei Shechina. Rabbi Osei, listen to how beautiful this is. Moshe Rabbeinu was carried in the wings of the Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu was carried in the wings of the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Umalochei Hasharis Omrim. And as Moshe Rabbeinu was being transported from the place where he died to the place where he was buried in the wings of the Shechina, the Malachim say, Tzidkas Hashem Asa U'mishpatav Im Yisrael. The Malachim themselves are saying, literally, he performed the righteousness of God U'mishpatav in the laws with Israel. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mi Yakum Li'im Mireim Mi Yisyatsev Li'im Pali Oven. So we'll say, Sekev Yachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying these psukim as well, right? Mi Yakum Li'im Mireim Mi Yatsili, right? Who's going to go ahead and essentially fight my battles, contend with those who perform evil. Ushmul Amar, Mikach Hachum Miyodea Peshadab, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hachachme Me'ayim Timsa, Rabbi Nachman Amar, Vayamash Sham Moshe. So we'll say ultimately, Rabbi Nachman, so we'll say, so just want to point out, this is what happens. So Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the Chelek of Reuven, ultimately buried in the Chelek of God. How does he get from the place where he died to the place where he was buried? The Shechina itself transports him. Rabbi Nachman Amar, Vayamash Sham Moshe. The pasuk says, so Rav Nachman says, it says, Vayamas Sham Moshe. So we'll say, what is Rav Nachman contributing? So Rashi says over here, Rav Nachman says, Vayamas is the contraction. Vayamas. Vayamas says, Ay. Ay. Mes Sham Moshe. The Torah Kedosh itself is mourning over the death of Moshe. Samal Yon Amar, Vayamas Sham Moshe Sifra Rabbi Yisrael. It means ultimately again that Moshe, Sifra Rabba, the great scribe of Israel, has died. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Omer, Shnema Samuel, Al Shnema Samuel, Kineged Machane Yisrael, Baskol Mashmiyav Omer. We'll say, an area of 12 mil by 12 mil, corresponding to the size of the Jewish camp. A Baskol came out and was heard, Omer, Vayamas Moshe Safra Rabba di Yisrael. We'll say, a Baskol came out and said, the hey, voice from heaven, Moshe, the scribe of Israel has died. Yesh omrim lo meis Moshe. Pasuk said, others say, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Ksiv hacha, vayamash Moshe. Uksiv hasam, vayhi sham im Hashem. Ma lahalon omet umishamish, afkan omet umishamish. Others say, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Rather, what happened? He was ultimately taken up alive to Teretz. So others say, no. All right, we'll stop over here for today. I'll say a lot more. Actually, no, let's do a little bit more. Right? So we'll say, Vayikbar Osa Bagai Be'eretz Moav Mul Beis Par. So where do they bury Moshe? They bury Moshe Bagai in the valley, in the land of Moav, opposite Beis Par. Now we'll say, Beis Par is in Avodah Zarah. Arab Rachyo, Simon Besoch Simon. Now we'll say, if you look at it, by the way, it appears that there is an explicit sign for where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, right? He's buried in the valley in Eretz Moav, opposite Beis Par. Ultimately, no one knew where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Ukvar shalch amalchus harasha eitzel gistera top of yudalit. Right? Because again, I will say, now, generally, malchus rasha generally means the Romans. The Romans. The Romans once went ahead and sent a message. Eitzel gistera. And I will say, we'll stop over here today. We'll stop with this. Again, it's a great service. I will say, what a daf. What a daf today. What a daf. We'll say, it's hard. It feels like a daf like this needs about a week. But all right, so we got it in a day, an hour, and a couple of minutes. We'll say, shkoyach. A good night, everyone. Meretz Hashem, the journey and excitement continues tomorrow. Shkoyach.